You may be seated. I'm realizing now that we skipped over our prayer for illumination. But I hope that the Holy Spirit illumined you to something, illuminated a passage to you in some way as we read that. Would you please join me in prayer now? Lord God, we come before you on this Holy Thursday Eve. This night, actually, of Holy Thursday. We come before you thinking of the past that we have just read about. We come before you thinking of what must have been going through Jesus' mind in this time. Thinking about what he knows, as the text says. And Lord, we come before you thinking about what we know. What has gone on in our lives to this point? What is going on today in our lives? What is going on today in the world? And we can't help but look to your Son to lead us, to show us something new for our lives, maybe something that doesn't make sense. By the world, it doesn't make sense, but by your Son who exemplified it, who lived it, who was prepared to die for it and did. We look to him to lead us. God, please speak to us tonight in a way that your Holy Spirit would be very clear to us, that in a way that you would move us to be moved. Not into complacency for our lives, but to conform into your image, to be more like you, which is the call to all who would call themselves Christians. Lead us in this time, and give me the words, I pray. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to ask you to, if you feel comfortable, close your eyes. If you don't, that's okay. I want to ask you to imagine something with me. It's now Thursday of Holy Week, not in 2016, but in 33 AD, the year that many scholars believe that Jesus died. You're in Jerusalem, so much is going on, there are noises. There are animals you hear even in the house that you're in because you're seated. You're reclining around and you're sharing in the Passover meal with Jesus. As you look around, you notice that all 12 of the disciples are all present. And they're all enjoying a meal. You all are enjoying a meal. Then all of a sudden, Jesus gets up. With no explanation. He begins to take off his outer clothing. He wraps a towel around his waist and he begins to go around mid-meal, washing the feet of all who are there. What is he doing? You wonder. Why would he do this? He goes to James and he washes James' feet and John's and Judas's. And he gets around and then he gets to Peter. Oh, Peter. Peter always says what he feels. He's the guy that says too much sometimes. And as Jesus gets ready to wash his feet, Peter questions Jesus and says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Oh, here we go again. Peter questioning Jesus. Just say to yourself, just be quiet, Peter. Let him do it. But no, he had to ask another question, didn't he? But Jesus, so gracious. I mean, we're all wondering what's going on. And Jesus responds to Peter. He says, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. But Jesus can't even so much get those words out as he hears Peter blurt out, no, you shall never wash my feet. It's uncomfortable now. Peter isn't going to allow Jesus to wash his feet. Should we not allow Jesus to do so to us as well? I mean, Jesus is too good for this. We've already said that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, and he's washing our feet like a servant? This doesn't make sense. But Jesus answered Peter. He said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." I invite you to come back now to 2016, to this sanctuary on this Holy Thursday, the night when the Lord, the Messiah, the Son of God, holy man, holy God, the second person of the triune God, humbled himself, got down on his knees, and washed his disciples' feet. He washed all of them. The ones who would desert him, the ones who would deny him, and even the one who would betray him. He washed all of their feet just the same. He loved them just the same. He loved them just the same until the very end. And he knew in these moments what was happening and what was going on and what was going to happen. The text says that he knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and to go to the Father, but it also says that he loved them to the end. And he loved them by washing their feet in the middle of the Passover feast that they were celebrating together. No, he didn't just wash them to clean their feet. No, Jesus was communicating something else to them and to us who would be his followers. And don't worry, we're not going to do it tonight. It's just there as a symbol, as an outward sign to what it is. It's important to see it. He was telling them, Jesus was telling his disciples that this is how they were to live when he left them. He was showing them that this is how the kingdom of God operates. That if he was to wash their feet, the host taking on the role of servant to his students, that they were to do the same for each other. He says so plainly in verses 14 and 15. He says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and you also should wash one another's feet, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." And so Jesus expected that his disciples, that we as his disciples and those 12 gathered round him that night, would not just hold on to this blessing that they received in his washing their feet and their being part with him, as Jesus puts it, but that they, and we too, should give this blessing to each other. And what is that blessing? What does it boil down to? Love. Love. Jesus says in verse 35 that we should be known as his disciples by loving one another. That's how the world will know that we are his disciples, if we love one another. He calls this a new command, but it isn't entirely new. He had told his disciples, and the scribe that asked the question, what the greatest commandment is, he said to them, to love God and to love your neighbors as yourselves, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. He told his disciples to love their enemies, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But this commandment was something new in the sense that he was commanding us to love one another in the church, in the community of believers. And that this, by this love, is how we would be known as His by our love for each other. Looking at this in light of His washing the feet of the 12, it says something even more profound. He doesn't just wash some of their feet, remember? Not just some of their feet, not just the ones that He likes that day, right? He washes all of them. He washes Judas's feet. He washes Peter's feet, who seemed to question Him all the time and actually denied knowing Him in his time of need. He washes all of their feet, even those that would desert Him in the garden. Because He loves them, no matter what, to the end. And He loves us, no matter what, to the end. We need to not only remember this, brothers and sisters, but we need to live this. And so as we think about today and all that transpires during this meal on Holy Thursday almost 2 years ago at the foot washing, at the prayers in Gethsemane for those of us who know, and as we look to tomorrow, let us never forget that Jesus does all that He does for us out of His love for each of us in all of creation and for His church. And that He expects, that He commands us to do everything that we do out of His love for us and our love for Him. You see, it can be easier to at least say that you love your enemy when they're very far away. And it can be easier to at least say that you love your neighbor when you're not dealing with them all the time. But what about those in the church? What about those that would hurt us? Those that we know intimately, the ones that have betrayed us, or maybe we have betrayed them, like Judas did to Jesus. Like Judas did to Jesus. Yes. Yes. Jesus says to wash even the betrayer's feet and to let your betrayer wash yours. That this is how the world will know that you are my disciples, He says. Not because you say you're a Christian, but by your love for each other. He says this because He loved us first. He says, you can do this because I loved you first. And because I love you now. And because I will love you to the end. That is how it is possible to love the betrayer, to love the deserter, to love the denier in our lives and even in the church. He would say to us, yeah, it might be impossible with just you, but all things are possible with God. And so we are commanded not just to be comfortable and just looking at the water, not just looking at it. We are commanded to wash each other's feet in forgiveness and love for one another. Within the body of Christ, within the church, because Christ commands us and shows us how to do that. As He washes the feet of the one who would betray Him and those that would desert Him. This is the call for the Christian on Holy Thursday. This is your call and this is mine. To forgive, sure, but to love and to be known by that love because Christ loved each of us first. The deserter, the denier, and the betrayer that we all are. And it's only by His grace that we are called. It is only by His holy love through our faith that we are made clean, washed in and by the Holy Spirit. And so remember this. Remember this, forgive, love, wash each other clean, and live in the trust of Christ who makes us all clean on this holy night. Amen.